You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
So we're on the seventh week of this series called Fruit, where we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5, and we will get there in a moment. But as we have said, all this month we are giving the ignition workers a break, at least the older ones, and at least the older workers. Not older. Like, there are old people here. Anyway, okay, so your kids are with you, and again, for your kids, like, this is about break for them, so if you need to give them a tablet or something just so they can kind of not distract you, we are cool with that. This isn't about forcing your kids to learn to pay attention to the word of the Lord, which is all good and all, but not, you know, this. But, you know, just in case your kids want to pay attention, I need four volunteers that are under, that have completed fifth grade or under. And as you will see, if you've not paid attention here, there is a splash zone set up here. And for you guys here, there's actually plastic sheeting that you can grab and cover yourself. You just chuckle, ha ha ha, until she gets soaked. Okay, but why don't we hit the house lights just so we have a little more light in here. And so I need four volunteers, and you have to be able to follow directions. It's very important. All right, there's one. All right, yeah, we'll take Joel. Come on up. Two. All right, yes, Sarah. And all right, why don't you come on up too? All right, Kerstetter. Yeah, why don't you just stand right there? Okay. All right, that'll work. All right, can you handle that part? Okay, why don't you guys come on across here, and maybe we'll put you right there and got you there. Okay, so what I need you to do, because of what's going on here, we've got, and I'll show you guys, I think you can handle this. We've got little plastic bags. We didn't test fit these. She's not even here, so she doesn't care. She's over teaching preschool. Kara cut these out, so if they don't work, it's her fault. But they're for your safety. So I'm not going to, ready? We're going to put this over your head, and then you're going to put your arms through, okay? All right? We'll just make this. Maybe I could have someone around me, you know, give me a hand here. Put your arms through. Put that down. Put your arms through. All right, good. Maybe someone else going to, yeah, you got it there. You got, okay, you got that. Good. Okay, cool. Thank you. Just so we're not here forever and we don't asphyxiate any of the children. So we're all about not, you know, can you breathe? Okay. All right. Put your arms through there. Put your arms through. Does it work? Hey, they kind of work. All right. So, by the way, next week, if you happen to notice a trail of garbage throughout the building, it's because we put these bags into use. So now if you could grab your safety glasses and please put them on. There's safety glasses there. And put them on. And why don't we smile? We're getting and you all have a water bottle. Pick up your water bottle, please. All right, well, Will, who brought him up here? Did I bring you up here? All right, just stand here, okay? Dad's taking your picture. Did we get a picture? All right. When you guys smile, we're going to get an Instagram picture. All right, whatever. All right, good. We got something. Okay, all right. So that's our MC3 Church. At MC3 Church is our Instagram page. So what I need you to do is I'm going to give you specific instructions. Now listen. Kerstetter. I need you to follow them to the specific instructions that I'm giving you. Okay? So, Sarah, we're going to start right here, and here's you all have buckets in front of you. I'm telling you about the plastic. You're just grinning, but okay. So what I want you to do is we're going to open your... Now, I want you to very carefully... Now, just you guys wait. I want you to very carefully pour... Now, you can take the lid off. Like, just slowly pour, slowly. Like, just a little dribble, pour that into the bucket. Just slowly. Don't spill anything. All right, now, keep going. Just keep pouring it. Okay, good. That's good. No, keep going. No, I mean, keep, like, you're doing a good job. Keep doing a good job. Okay, you got that? Just keep doing that while we move on. Okay, now, what I need you to do, I need you to stand back here. Now, we're going to undo the lid. I'm telling you, plastic people. Okay, what I need you to do is you are going to stand here, and I need you to get the water into there by shaking it. Okay? Go ahead. Just go ahead and get it in there. Try to get it in. Keep going. Oh, you need to go harder than that. All right. Okay, good. All right. Now I need you to, you're not going to open your water bottle. Okay. Is it going backwards too? That's as far as you can go. So that's there. Okay. So you can't open that and just do your best to try to get water into that bucket. So you can't open it. He's not allowed to open it. Just do that. Don't squeeze it because you don't want to crush it and break it everywhere. Thank you. So do that. Okay, so you're splashing, you're pouring, you do your best there. Okay, now you open your lid. What, yours is empty? Okay, what I need you to do is go over to their buckets and steal some of their water.
What?
Okay, so you keep doing your thing.
No.
Keep doing your thing.
Yeah.
All right, so how's it going? So you're look at that. You didn't waste a drop. It is all in there. He's stealing it. Man. Okay, and you've made a horrible mess. Okay, and what's the deal here? Your bucket is empty, man. What's going on? Why is there nothing in your bucket?
It's not open.
What? It's not open. Okay, so it looks pretty good, but there's nothing coming out. Okay, that's good to know.
I want to squeeze it.
No, do not want to squeeze it. Don't listen to her. Listen to me. All right. Are you still stealing water there? All right, why don't you go back over to your bucket? Just take your stolen water. All right. Thank you. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. You guys can all stop for a second. And so over here we've got the steady stream from this what's this called, bottle, from this water bottle, and you have emptied the entire bottle and have not wasted a drop. You have been kind of throwing it and splashing, and there's some water in the bucket, but a lot not. And again, you've got nothing, man. There's nothing in this bucket. I still don't understand. This is still full. Don't understand what your deal is, man. I said, put it in there. And then you didn't get anything in your bucket. Meanwhile, you stole stuff from their bucket in your empty bottle. So that's disappointing, but that's okay because you did your job. I'm just making a point. So, all right, why don't you guys, first of all, I want to give it up for our volunteers here. Thank you. And if you could just put your water bottle, maybe we'll just set them right in front of your bucket there. Can you get it in front of the bucket so everybody can see that? And then you guys can keep, not the glasses, give them back. They're for our family Nerf dart tag wars. Yeah. All right. But you guys can keep your plastic bags for good. It's like your souvenir. But please do not play with them with babies. Okay. Okay, well, you could. All right. Thank you guys very much for your help. And I want to talk to you about this idea of these bottles and these buckets. And we're actually going to come back to this in a little bit. But just remember, here we had the steady flow from the bottle into the bucket, not a drop wasted. The bucket is full. The bottle is empty. Here we had kind of the splashing thing. And there is some water in the bucket. There's a lot of water wasted everywhere else. And then here, you know, Joel, I still don't understand, man. The bucket is empty. Nothing is out of the bottle. And then, meanwhile, this is just stolen water from other people's buckets. And, of course, this bucket is empty. We'll come back to that. But I want to talk about this. We've been going through this series, of course, looking at this this verse in Galatians, actually two verses, Galatians chapter, Galatians, next slide. I think it's 5, right? I've been teaching this for 7 weeks. Anything? Hey, there we go. Galatians 5. Yeah, I was right. See? You know, who am I? Anyway, but this verse, you know, maybe you've heard it before in the last 7 weeks as the elders and I have been teaching this. But it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And of course, the very first week of this series back at the beginning of July, we talk about how these are things that the Holy Spirit produces in us. And if you are a Christ follower, if you have chosen to follow Jesus with your life, if you've chosen to believe what he has done on the cross for you, and some of those people will be celebrating next week in our baptism next Sunday. But then you, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit in you. And this passage that Paul is teaching to this church in Galatia that he planted says that the Holy Spirit will produce these things in you. And we've been looking at them each week. What are some of the different things that the Holy Spirit produces in us? And this week I want to look at this idea of faithfulness and talk about that. Now I want to understand one foundational thing, and we've been singing about it all morning. God is faithful. God is faithful. Meaning, we can count on God. God will always come through every moment at every time. There is no situation where he can't work it out. There is no mountain. I mean, it's like, re-sing the songs. Like, there's nothing that God can't do. And he is always there for us. There's never a point where he turns his back on us. There's never a point where he doesn't work out a situation. He is in control. He's got it all. And he is faithful to us always. Now, you and I, we are not God. And therefore, on our own, we are not faithful. But the Holy Spirit, God in us, can produce faithfulness in us. And so I want to talk about this idea of faithfulness. And the word means, well, hold on, go back, sorry. The word faithfulness that's not there, but that could be there. There it is. The word faithfulness there, actually, it means this idea of worthy of trust, worthy of belief. One who is faithful is one that you can count on, someone you can depend on. And we can depend on God, and the Holy Spirit wants to produce that fruit in us, so that we are faithful. And we'll get into that a little bit more, but this idea of being able to trust and be able to count on and be able to depend on someone who is faithful. And I want to make the point today as we look at this fruit, and that is this, that when the fruit of faithfulness is produced in us, there we go, it maximizes our ministry. And as we said last week, it was interesting, we talked about gentleness and yeah, that was last week, about how the context of gentleness found throughout the Bible, except when, in the New Testament at least, except when Jesus was talking, was tied directly to addressing sin, to discipline, to confronting something in someone else's life. And I thought it was really interesting. And so this idea of the Holy Spirit producing gentleness in us is so that we can gently, and we talked about anesthesia, and you can listen to that at mc3church.org. But we talk about this anesthesia and being able to confront someone with that. Well, the interesting thing about the word faithfulness is many times in the New Testament, when it comes to not God, we know that God is faithful, and there's many references to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit being faithful, to the Trinity being faithful in our lives. But when it comes to humans, many times in the New Testament, the word faithfulness is used. This word is, the Greek word is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, And every time that word is used about humans, almost every time, it's tied specifically to ministry. And I thought that was really interesting. So here we have the Holy Spirit producing this faithfulness in us, this idea that he's going to help us be faithful in serving, in being ministers, which you all are as a follower of Jesus. You are, and I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll get to that in a moment. But this word faithfulness, this idea means you can count on me. It means you can trust me. And we can say God is faithful because we can count on him. We can trust him. And as we go through this morning, we're going to talk about this concept of you can count on me. Of, you know, I can do this. You've got it, dude. Why don't you watch this?
You got it, dude. Got it, dude. You got it, dude. Got it, dude. You got it, dude. Got it, dude. You got it, dude. You got it, dude.
All right.
You got it, dude. Oh, yes, you got it, dude. Dude. You got it, dude. You got it, dude. Got it, dude. You got it, dude. You got it, dude.
All right.
You got it, dude.
So that's from the 90s version of the TV show Full House. And that would be the Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen sisters. And their younger sister became Scarlet Witch in the Avengers. But anyway, so this idea of faithfulness, as we've done kind of throughout this month with these different words, when you see me or hear me read the word faithful from the Bible, as we look at the Bible passages of the word faithful, not every time I say it, but I want you to kind of reiterate that idea of faithfulness to someone where you can count on me. You got it, dude. So on three, we're going to do that together. You can make the little, you know, 90s Michelle, is that her name, Michelle Tanner voice? Or you can make, like, you know, your own, you got it, dude. You can do it with Fonzie, which is way a whole other thing. Anyway, so on three, just so you know, when we're talking about faithfulness, you can count on me. You got it, dude. Ready? One, two, three. You got it, dude. All right, very good. All right, let's. No, that wasn't good. I was talking too much. All right, let's do it again. Ready? One, two, three. All right, and you can do the thumbs up, too. Just don't stick your thumb in your neighbor's nose. And if you do, see if there's anything in there, help them out. Maybe there's something up there like you can clean out. Be like, oh, thanks. But I want to tell you, so when we get to that word faithful, you got it, dude. You can count on me. You can trust me. You can depend on me. And the Holy Spirit produces this fruit in our lives when it comes to ministry. And so as that is produced, the more faithful we are, the more impact our ministry has. And when I say our ministry, I mean you, me, us, as a church, as individuals. And you know, our background, like I'm called lead pastor. That's my title. We went to a Southern Baptist church when we lived in Dallas, and everybody there was called minister of. There was the minister of music and the minister of worship and the minister of youth. And that was a fancy name to say that they're being paid to be in charge of that. But I want you to understand that as a follower of Jesus, you are a minister. And the question is, are you faithful? So, we're going to look at this passage here in 1 Corinthians. We're going to bounce from Galatians chapter 5 to 1 Corinthians. And pay attention here, because there may or may not be a highlighted word that everybody needs to be involved in. So this is Paul wrote this to the church in Corinth. He actually wrote two letters to this church that he planted there. And there were some issues in Corinth. And this particular passage comes right after. And if you know this, the letter, the book of 1 Corinthians, there's this part where people were discussing and debating at Corinth over who was really the best pastor there was. Who was the best minister out there? Who was the best evangelist? And they were like, well, some say I follow Paul. And like, Paul, yeah, he planted the church. But other people were like, oh, but Apollos was awesome. He is the man. And then there were other people like, well, how about that other guy? And Paul was writing in the church saying, look, dude, people, it is not about the people up front. It is not about the people. It is about what God does through these people. And you are one of the people too. It's a matter of what God does through you. It's not about you. It's about what God does through you. And so then he goes on to the beginning of chapter 4 and continues this thought. And this is what he says. He says, sorry, it's really scrunched. There's some font issues here. Anyway, he says, here is how you should think of us. We serve Christ. We are trusted with God's secret truth. Those who have been given a trust must prove that they are faithful. They are faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. I don't even judge myself. I don't feel I have done anything wrong, but that doesn't mean I'm not guilty. The Lord judges me. So don't judge anything before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord returns. He will bring to light what is hidden in the dark. He will show the real reasons why people do what they do. At that time, each person will receive praise from God. So, I want to talk about, first of all, what makes us ministers? How are you a minister? How are you in this role as a minister? And Paul shares this. And the first thing is that as Christ followers, here's the trust. We've been given a trust. Christ followers are, first of all, trusted with a message. And I would say it's not just any old message. It is a life-changing, world-shaking message. You, as a follower of Jesus, have been entrusted by God with a message to share, a message that changes hearts and lives. And this is what he says in the first part of that verse. He says, here is how you should think of us. As followers of Jesus, he's talking about him and Apollos, but all of us, we serve Christ. We are trusted with God's secret truth. So this idea here is that we have been given this trust. We have been given a trust. It's like this. You remember, or maybe you look forward to the moment when mom or dad says, you know what, here's the keys. Take the car, go to the store, get something for us, or you know, drive to that thing and come back. And the keys aren't your keys. The keys represent, you know, the keys are part of their car. Maybe you have your own car. But when you're talking about your parents' car, that first time, you know, here's the keys. Go and do what you need to do. And you've got control, and I'm trusting you. Because cars cost a little bit more than nothing. And so there's this idea of that. I'm handing this off to you. It is something that is a big deal. This is a trust. And I know, I remember in our family, like on my birthday, my 16th birthday, that was one of my presents, was a, not my own car key, but a copy of the family car key and the station wagon and the good old Taurus that had back row seats facing the other way. And I think maybe there were seatbelts there. But anyway, that idea of this, like, you know, this is, you are given this trust. And we have been given that message. We are trusted with God's secret truth. And here's what the word to trust is, this idea that the Greek word is actually someone who is an administrator. Someone that we often use this word as a manager, a steward, where this person is often the one that is in charge. This Greek title was used to refer to a person that's in charge of the family money, or maybe in charge of managing the money for a business, or even in charge of a child that is orphaned. An adult is placed in charge, entrusted with that child to care for them until they're of age. And what brings this to mind to me is Alfred. If you guys know the story of Batman, or The Dark Knight, or Batman and Robin, or Suicide Squad, or Batman v Superman, or Batman. There's plenty of Batmans out there. But anyway, the whole idea was Alfred, little Bruce Wayne. Sorry, spoiler. Like, come on. Bruce Wayne's parents were killed, okay, when he was little. If you didn't know that by now, I'm sorry. And it turned him into a vigilante and with lots of money, because that's the way it works. But I'm serious. Think about all the... Anyway. So his parents were killed, and Alfred was given, entrusted with Bruce Wayne. He had to take care of him and raise him because his parents were gone. And that's what this word is, someone who takes care of. And we have been entrusted with this, as it says, God's secret truth. And this word secret, just so you know, it's not like, hey, I know something and you don't know. The word actually has this idea of something that at this point is just starting to be revealed, just starting to be shared. Because before, people were like waiting in the Old Testament, waiting for this one who was called the Mashiach, the Messiah. The Greek word for that was the Christos, Christ. They were waiting for this one because things, and I don't have time to get into all this, but things were pretty miserable for Israel. And they kept turning away from God. And we talked about this in the Rescue series. We talked about it, of course, in the Wall series and the Word series. They kept looking forward to this Christ, this Messiah that was coming. And now he's here. And so this message of what is this Jesus all about is now being revealed, is now being shared, it is now being opened up and shared. And Paul says, as followers of Jesus, we have been entrusted with that message. And this isn't just a message like, hey, could somebody tell us that someone's lights are on in the parking lot? The owner of a green Dodge, your lights are on in the parking lot. Like, okay, that's kind of important, I guess. Your battery will be dead later. No, this is something that is phenomenally world-changing, life-changing. And God, okay, and just think about this for a second. Like, think about you. I don't know about you, but I'm like, God, why would you give me this message? It's not just like my parents saying, hey, here's the key to the station wagon. It's them saying, here's the key to the Lamborghini. What? And that idea that God has trusted us with that message. So get that. And that means you have been entrusted with this message. You as a follower of Jesus have been given this secret message, but it's not secret. It's just this message of truth that people can go, hey, you know what? Life changes. Jesus can change you. You don't have to be stuck in your sin. You don't have to go through living life this way. There is a way. There is a Savior that has come to die for you, to help you through all this, to get you out of this mess. That is a big deal. And we have been entrusted with that truth. So, as Christ followers, we are trusted with a life-changing, world-shaking message. And, as Christ followers, we are expected to be faithful. I don't know if that's grammatically correct, but we are expected, it is expected of us, to be faithful with that message. The plan, the goal, the idea is, here it is, here's the keys. Use it wisely. Use it smartly. Use it in a good way. Don't wreck it. Don't waste it. Don't hurt others with it. Use it for my benefit. So we are expected to be faithful. And that's what he goes on to say. Those who have been given a trust, i.e. us, in other words, all of us as followers of Jesus, those who have been given a trust, like we have, must prove that they are faithful. like, we must prove. We have been given this message. And God is expecting that we are faithful with it. And the question is, you know, are you? And before you answer that question, I want to throw a couple of curveballs at you here. Because I don't really, not literally. I don't even know how to do that, actually. But this idea, you know, we have been given this message and we are expected to be faithful. And so the question is, have we been found faithful? Are you found faithful? Are you considered, does God look at you and say, yeah, you're faithful? Because that's the, next slide, please. That's the question. The question is, are you faithful with this message? And before you answer it, again, before you start thinking, yeah, I am, pretty good, let me just knock your feet out from underneath you a little bit, and my feet out from underneath you, because we already said this is about Christ. We are servants of Christ, is what Paul says there. It's not about us. It's not about our glory, our message, or our amazingness. It's about Him. So the question is, are you faithful? And so, first of all, to answer that question, I want to be clear with you, and this is the easy one. This is the part we like. And that is that others can't figure out if we're faithful. Others can't look at you and say, oh, yeah, you're faithful. You're not. Sorry. Like, others can't do that. Others can't figure that out. They can't look at you and determine if you're faithful with God's message. So, you know, I mean, we can see some signs. You know, we can notice, like, wow, there's massive dents in the Lamborghini. I'm just going to draw some conclusions here. But again, we don't know the story. Maybe you were completely faithful, and while it was parked, someone else drove into you. You weren't even near it, you know. But this idea of being faithful with God's message, others can't do that. And that's what Paul goes on to then say in the first part of verse 3. He says, I care very little if I am judged by you or any human court. He just said, you know what, you're all talking about, we follow Apollos and we follow Paul. He's like, I don't care what any of you think, because you can't tell what's really going on. You can't tell if I am being faithful with this message. He says, I don't care if I'm judged by any human court. And this word judge doesn't mean like, ha, we're judging you. It means this idea of like, has this proven true? It doesn't mean like like we throw the word judgment around. Stop judging people. And it means all sorts of things, whatever's convenient for your situation at the time. And if you judge others, it's not called judging. But if they judge you, it is. Like, come on. Anyway, but this word actually means the idea of, does it prove to be true? Does it prove to be authentic? And so he says, I'm not interested in whether you or any, even a court. We get a court together and say, yes, Paul, we have determined that you have been truthful and authentic with the message that God has trusted you. Paul's like, I don't care. I don't care what you think. And frankly, you know, as a lead pastor here, you know, as much as I do care what people think, I shouldn't. And there are times where we have to do things and say things and make decisions and respond in ways that makes people unhappy. Unhappy. And there's a part that goes, you know what? I don't care. I don't care what you think. Because it's not about other people's opinions. So, then he goes on. Now we're going to get a little bit more personal. And he says this. Others can't figure it out. Others can't figure out if we're faithful. And I can't feel out if we're faithful. Because, well, it feels okay, so it must be right. I feel like this is the right thing to do. I feel like it's all right. I feel like I'm being faithful. I mean, as I look at my life and compare it to other people, wow, I'm pretty faithful. I feel like I'm doing it. It feels good to me. And Paul says, we can't feel that. We can't feel. Feelings, like, we waste too much time on feelings. Because it's not about how we feel. Because you know what? Sometimes, and we'll talk about joy next week. Sometimes we don't feel happy, but we can still experience joy. Spoiler. And he goes on and says this. He says, I don't even judge myself. He says, you can't judge me, and I don't even judge myself. I don't feel I have done anything wrong. He says, I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. People are like, I'm following Apollos. And Paul's like, you know, I don't really care. I'm not even judging myself because I don't feel like I'm doing anything wrong. But then he goes on and says, but that doesn't mean I'm not guilty. He's saying my feelings don't really matter in this situation. And so when we ask this question, are you faithful with the message that God has entrusted you? If your response is, well, I feel like I am. Paul's Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament. Says, you know what? Even though I feel like I'm okay, doesn't mean I am. And I just want to caution you with that. We have been entrusted with this life-changing message. And are we, in fact, faithful with it? And others can't tell you that. And you can't even tell yourself that. Because we can't feel out if we're faithful. But finally, when it comes to this, is that God finds out if we're faithful. See, what it comes down to is, are you faithful with the message that God has given you? You know, it doesn't care what other people think. It doesn't even care what you think about it. The question is, what does God think? And so that question is, are you faithful with this message He has entrusted you? Don't say, well, I think compared to that guy, or I feel like I'm doing a better job than them, or my friends say I am. You go, girl. It's okay, hon. No. No, no, no. It doesn't matter what any of those people think. What matters is, what does God think about it? Because we've got this message, and He says, here's the keys, and it matters what He thinks about what you've done with it. It matters whether He thinks you've been faithful. So before you start building up these walls and saying how amazing and great you are, does God think you are? I mean, He loves you deeply and completely and totally. But will He find you faithful with the message that He's entrusted to you? This is what Paul then goes on and says. He says, the Lord judges me. I'm not interested in what you think. I don't care about a court. I don't even, my own feelings aren't even fair to judge. The Lord judges me, so don't judge anything before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord returns. He says, Jesus is coming back. Wait until then. Then He is going to bring to light what's hidden in the dark. He will show the real reasons why people do what they do. And then it says, at that time, each person will receive praise from God. He says, look, there's going to be a time where you're going to be held accountable. What did you do with the message that God gave you? Were you faithful? Because He sees your heart. He knows that you're just doing it to look impressive for other people. He knows you're serving because it'll look good on your application for that job. He knows you're doing it out of guilt or some way that you can repay God. Like, those aren't the reasons why we serve. He's looking at our heart, and He's going to judge. He's going to be able to say, is it true? Is it real? Because that's what matters. He's the one entrusted us with the message, and He's the one that we're going to be held accountable to. And it doesn't matter what your friend says. It doesn't matter what your pastor says. What matters is what God says. Have you been faithful with this message? Have you used it wisely? Have you served? Have you made sure that this message, and I'm not just talking about telling your friends about Jesus, I'm talking about what goes on here, serving Jesus, whether that's helping someone work on their house, whether that's serving in the nursery, I mean, all of these things. Have you been faithful with the ministry that God has entrusted you, with the message that God has entrusted you? Because others can't figure out if we're faithful. We can't feel out if we're faithful. But God finds out if we're faithful. So, the point again being, when the fruit of faithfulness is produced, meaning, when that question is asked, are you faithful with His message, and the Holy Spirit has produced faithfulness in you, meaning, yes, I have been faithful, not to me, not to my friends, but to God with this ministry, our ministry is going to explode. Our individual impact on lives, the way we can touch other people as a church, the way we can touch other people, the people's hearts and lives that can be changed, that can be brought into this building, that can be brought into a relationship with Jesus, that can come and be baptized, as we're going to do next week. And it's going to be incredible as we hear some of these stories of God changing hearts here at MC3. But that's the issue. It comes back to, are we faithful with God's message? Are you faithful to the ministry that God has called you? So, coming back up here, which bucket are you? Because these are the buckets of faithfulness. There's this bucket here, and just kind of hang out there with me. There's this bucket of the constant slow, consistent pouring of the water. Because we've all got this message. Let's call it a message in a bottle. And it's our job to share this. It's our job to serve. It's our job to pour ourselves out. I mean, we could pick the metaphors all over the place here. It's our job to pour ourselves out. And faithfulness is this slow, steady pour. It's not always flashy. It's not always exciting. But it's consistent. And do you know how much was wasted? Nothing. And everything was poured out. There's the message of the first bucket. That's the faithful person. Again, hang out there. I'll come back to all these. Then there's the second bucket. And then this is the bucket. We've still got the message in the bottle. And we need to share it. But this is all about the splash and the flare. And I'm excited about this because I heard a really cool song that made me cry and said, I'm going to serve Jesus. And you sign up and you get involved. And one day you do. And then you never show up again. Or you're going, oh, God's going to be so proud of me. I'm so good. He is going to be so impressed because I am serving him. But it's not faithful. It's whatever's convenient. Oh, you know what? This week I had something else come up, so I actually couldn't serve. I couldn't be faithful. Or it was inconvenient in my schedule, so I couldn't do that. That's this splash. It's not faithfulness. It's impressive. And maybe other people will go, wow, look at you. Look at all that you're doing. But it doesn't matter what other people think. What does God think about your heart? And then you've got this next bucket here, the third bucket. This is the bucket where, of course, nothing was poured out. The message was still in the bottle. Nothing was poured out. And this is the person that has the message, and they're like, oh, yeah. Oh, I love Jesus. And I'm going to help. I'm going to serve. I'm going to do stuff. I'm going to talk to my neighbors about Jesus. I'm going to sign up to help, you know, to help in Ignition. I'm going to be a part. And wow, you sound really good, and your message looks really good, but it never actually comes out. And that's not faithfulness. That's all talk. And talk isn't faithfulness. And so if you're talking and telling everyone and talking about how you're going to serve but never actually do it, then everybody's going to say, wow, I hear that you're going to serve. Wow, I hear that you're getting involved that way. And it doesn't matter whether people say, wow. It's a matter of what do you pour out. And then there's this. Maybe this is just you. Maybe you're the fourth bucket. And you're the bucket that, you know what? You don't even care about serving. All you do is you want to fill your bottle. And I'm talking to Christ followers here. If you're not a Christ follower, you're kind of like you're in a bucket over here somewhere waiting, you know, for Jesus to kind of fill you and you learning what that means and following him. So I'm not, you know, you can just kind of sit back and be like, hey, I'm not into the Jesus thing yet. Okay, cool. But there are Christ followers that are just going around like, what can I get out of this? Oh, I'm going to serve in this way, or maybe not, well, not serve, just I'm going to sit and be here because it's exciting. It fills me up. It makes me feel good. And God hasn't called us to just feel good. And we'll talk about this next month in our Church Not Club series about what God has called us to do as followers of his. But are you just going around like getting your bottle filled up? And then, oh, I don't really like what they said that time, so I'm going to go somewhere else and get my bottle filled up. Like, if you're not serving, if you're not ministering as a follower of Jesus, Jesus has given you this trust. He has given you this message and these keys. And when it comes time, you're going to be held accountable for what you did with that message, with that ministry that God has given you. And let me tell you, just to kind of be off clear on this, ministry are all over the place. Like, I happen to be up front, but that doesn't mean that my ministry is any more substantial than someone that goes, park here, park here, park here. That matters because people, hey, welcome. We want to make these things smooth. We don't want people to go, and as we can tell by an actual story, people showing up and there was someone there to park them and they're like, oh, crap, we can't leave now. Don't say crap. We can't leave. Now they're pointing me to the spot and just wait till next week. Anyway, but like these things matter. So don't even get this idea like, well, I'm not a great singer. Doesn't matter. What matters is, are you following the ministry? Are you being faithful to the ministry that God has called you to be you? And are you being faithful to it? And he cares about our hearts. He cares about which bucket are you? So let's look at this from a biblical standpoint. And remember, if you're faithful, we say to God, you've got it, dude. We're going to be faithful. So the faithful bucket is the first one. Are you the faithful bucket? It might not be fancy. It might not be splashy. And let me tell you, there are little old ladies teaching Sunday school in churches that have been doing it for decades and decades and decades. And probably people don't even know them. But those little old ladies inspired Jesus in people. And those people have gone out and made tremendous impact in the world. And so even if it's not splashy, even if people aren't like, well, I want all the attention, then you've missed it because that's the wrong attitude. But just that faithful, steady pour. God wants us to be faithful. The Holy Spirit wants to produce faithfulness in us. This idea of a consistent, trustworthy, you can count on me. And there's a story in Matthew chapter 25, and it ties into what we're talking about a little bit. But Jesus is sharing this parable. And he was talking about the story, and we actually we covered it in our parables series a number of years ago. Justin taught that. If you go to mc3church.org and click on Listen to the Point, find the parables series, and I think it was called What Are Your Talents? Or something like that. You can find that, and it was incredible. He talks about this parable. But basically, the quick gist of it is Jesus is telling this story and says, look, there was this guy that was a master. He went away on vacation for a while, and he entrusted his servants with his stuff and said, look, I'm going away, but I need you to take care of things. Basically, I need you to do some house sitting while I'm gone. And he gave each of these servants, three of them, different levels of responsibility. And some he gave, you know, here, you're in charge of, like, you know, you're in charge of the kitchen and the dining staff. I'm just making this up. But the concept is there. You know, and you need to make sure that that's working. And the Lamborghini, care for my Lamborghini. And the second was like, okay, you know, you need to make sure that the bedrooms and the living room, they're in good shape. And the last guy, he was like, you know, make sure that, I don't know, you keep the floors clean or something, whatever. But just kind of different levels of responsibility. And it was shared as this idea of talents and what are you going to do with these actual money that he gave to them to be responsible for. But anyway, so they go away and the guy with most money, the most talents, the most responsibility, uses it and actually earns more, twice as much. And then the one who kind of has a medium amount of responsibility goes and does his thing and earns, you know, about the same amount as well. Doubles it as well. And then the third guy, who had very little responsibility, it says that he didn't do a thing. And he just sat on it and that's kind of what he did. And at the end of this parable, then the master returns. The master comes back and says, have you been faithful with what I have entrusted you? At the end of the story, at the appointed time, as we read earlier, the master returns and says, I'm the one that's going to judge. I'm the one that's going to determine, have you in fact been faithful with what I gave you? And so in this story, now we're going to bounce back on it a couple of times here, but here's that verse. The master then comes to that servant that's been given the most responsibility, and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. So this the master comes back, the one who was entrusted the responsibility, and this is a parable, it's representing something bigger. Jesus comes back and says, look, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. He says, I see what you have done. I'm the true judge. It doesn't matter what other people think. I'm the one. And I say, well done. You have been good. You are faithful. Come on, let's celebrate together. This is exciting. And that's what we said at the end of that passage in Corinthians. It says that he will bring praise to those that deserve praise. When you get to the end of your life and Jesus says, what have you done with the message that I've entrusted you? Will the master say, well done. Come on, let's celebrate. Good job. That's the faithful bucket. Is that you? Is that what God sees you as? Constant, consistent. We can count on you. You can be trusted. You can be there. And you do it. Even if it's not flashy, even if it's not fancy. Then you've got your second bucket. And this is the, what did I call this one? I think it's the big splash, yeah. The big splash bucket. Maybe this is this you. Are you the big splash? You're like, yeah, I'm gung-ho. I'm excited about this. And you dive in. I'm at MC3. I'm going to sign up for every ministry there is. I'm going to do it all. And maybe you do for a week or a month or even a few months. And then you're like, well, this is too much. I'm out. That's a big splash. Or again, maybe you're kind of misunderstanding how Jesus sees you. And you think, well, I need to earn God's love for me. I need to do this so that God is impressed with me. And as we say many, 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 many times here, there's nothing that you can do to make God love you more. And there is nothing that you can do to make God love you less. So this even this idea of I'm going to impress God. God loves you no matter what. God isn't interested in you impressing him. God is interested in you being faithful with the message that he has entrusted to you, with the ministry that he has entrusted to you. So are you this? Are you this big splash? And everybody's like, wow, you're so great. And then no one can actually count on you. Are you actually not a faithful person? You might look faithful and you're impressive to others, but you're actually not faithful. And in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. They were the religious leaders at the time. And Jesus was not nice to them. Not because he wasn't a nice person, but because he confronted them on their fakeness, on their inauthenticity. That's a long word. But he's going through this list of what are called woes, where he's like, you know, you guys, come on, get it together. You're supposed to be the religious leaders. You're supposed to be the examples of people and what they're supposed to follow and what it means to look like to follow Jesus. And you're all messed up. And he goes on in chapter 23 and verse 23. He says, how terrible for you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. You pretenders. Again, these are the religious leaders. That'd be like you. Well, you're not Jesus. But Jesus maybe walking into a church, maybe our church, and coming in the back and be like, Sean, you're a fake. You're a fraud. Going into any particular spot where there's people up front, leaders, and just calling them out. Like, that's what's going on here. Don't be like Jesus is hanging out and they're sitting around the fire and be like, yeah, you guys are kind of fake. Yeah, I know. All right. No, this was a big deal. So he says, you pretenders. He says, you give God a tenth of your spices, like mint, dill, and cumin. So here's the thing. The tithe, we talked about this in our, what was it called? Our offer series about the Old Testament, the command and the instructions for the Old Testament followers to give it God a tenth, the first fruits, the tenth of what they've got. And Jesus saying the Pharisees were so good looking and such a big splash that they were like, oh, look at us. Why? I'm not just giving God a tenth of my money. I'm giving him a tenth of my spices. And there's 90% to put that on top of my meat. And there's a little 90% dill and put that on my cucumbers. And there's 90% cumin. I'm going to put that on my beans, my refried beans. And here's 10% for God. Like, even my spices. Aren't they so great and wonderful that I tenth even down to my little spices? And Jesus says, dude, you're fakes. You're pretenders. He says, you do all these little things. And everybody's like, woo, look at you. He says, but you have not practiced the more important things of the law. Like fairness, mercy, and faithfulness. He says, you should have practiced those last things instead of failing to do the first. You blind guides. You remove the smallest insect from your food, but you swallow a whole camel. That's kind of a weird metaphor, but you know, you're like, oh, there's an insect there. Wrong, swallow a camel. Good luck with that. But the idea is that they were the splash. They were the big splash. Look at us. Aren't we wonderful? And Jesus is like, but you're not faithful. You're not faithful with the message that I've given you, with the ministry that I've given you. You are not faithful. You cannot be counted on. You're fakes. You're hypocrites. So is that your bucket? And then the third bucket is the all talk bucket. Is this you? Or are you the one that says, yeah, I'm doing this. I'm serving. Look at me. But you don't actually do it. Like, intentions really don't help anything. You can feel bad. I mean, James says this in the book of James. He's like, look, I don't care how you feel about people. Do something about helping people. That's what's going to matter. You know, we could kind of turn it into the church version. Oh, I'll pray for you. Okay, do you actually mean that? Or is that just your way of being like, oh, I'll pray for you. I don't actually do anything for you. Are you an all talk? Is that what your ministry is? You say it, but you don't actually do anything. You don't actually show. You don't actually come through. And a lot of times, all talk people are like, but why do I get more responsibility? I told you how good I am. I told you that I'm going to help. And again, in Jesus circles and in ministry circles, people are like, well, that's great, but we can't do anything with your talk. Your talk doesn't actually solve any problems. Your words, you know, your intentions don't actually help the needs of the people around you. Your words, your intentions don't actually help the children that need someone to care for them. He says, don't be an all-talk person. And people are like, why don't I give him responsibility? Well, in Luke chapter 16, Jesus says this. He says, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, money, money, money here, like physical dollars and cents, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? He's like, look, we need to be counted on with the little things. And don't, you know, all talk. Like, start small. Don't just talk. Do something small. You don't have to jump in and be everything. You're not supposed to. That's what the church is about. The body of Christ. We all work together and all have our parts. It's a whole other thing. We talked about, there's a series up there called, Gifts. There it is. And we talked about the fact that we're all different parts of the same body. We all have different parts. And you know, we're supposed to be faithful in the little things. So don't just talk. Actually start emptying your bottle. Start giving. Start actually doing something. And it doesn't need to be, certainly shouldn't be flashy and big and the big splash. But start somewhere. And start. Don't just say, do. And then there's the fourth bucket, and this I would just call the non-bucket. Are you the non-bucket? And this is, again, as I said, this person's only interested in what they can get. You're not actually, as a follower of Jesus, not actually interested in using the message, using the ministry that He has entrusted you, not actually being faithful, not actually sharing it, not actually serving. Your job is to soak and soak and soak and soak it up and get what you want. And we are called to be faithful. We are not called to just go around and take what's other people's stuff. And frankly, even saying that, if you're one of those people that just take, you might be like, oh, that's it, I'm done with that church. Okay, we'll just keep filling it up and wait for Jesus to come and say, how have you been? Have you been faithful with the message that I've entrusted you? And so this is what happens in that same passage we were talking about earlier. The master goes away. He comes to the last guy who didn't do anything. And the master calls him wicked, lazy servant. And this is what he said to the master earlier. He says, you know, I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate. Why don't you at least put my money in the bank? You could have at least just let it sit there and then it would have gained interest. But he calls him a wicked, lazy servant because he's not interested in just not doing anything or sitting back or waiting. He's interested in faithfulness. He's not interested in a big splash. He's interested in faithfulness. He's not interested in all talk. He's interested in faithfulness. What bucket are you? And not what do you think bucket you are, but what does God think? What bucket does God think that you are? Are you the faithful bucket, the big splash bucket, the all talk bucket, or the non-bucket? Which is you? And I can't answer that question. We already said that. And frankly, you can't just say, well, I feel okay. God is the one that's going to hold you responsible. God is the one that's going to answer that question. And He still loves you. And you're still going to go to heaven. You're going to still be with Jesus. If you're a follower of His, if you trusted Jesus with your life. But at the end, is the master going to say, well done, let's party. Let's celebrate because you have been so good with this message. And by the way, all these people that are in heaven here, they're here because of you. Oh, you? Well, come on in. You're wicked, lazy. And there's even debate. Do you even know Jesus? Because He has entrusted you with that. And what bucket are you? So there's some things that we can do with this. The point being, when the fruit of faithfulness is produced, it maximizes our ministry. And now let me just get personal or contextualized here at MC3, at this local church. There are ways, if you're not involved, if you are not faithful. Well, one, if you're part of a ministry team here and you don't show, like, There's always good excuses. Good excuses don't help actual people. And again, I'm not saying, like, if you're sick and throwing up, don't come here. Get away. But again, don't just look at, well, I don't feel like this. What is God saying about your heart and your attitude there? And there are times for breaks. We're right now giving our teachers a break. Like, that's all part of it. Sabbath rest is a big deal. But I'm just saying, when it comes to your excuses and your reasons, what are they? But if you're already serving, so plug in, do it. If you're not, there are some ways you can get involved. One is Ignition. We're about to start up again, Ignition, which is our children's, our family ministry for kids. It's our Sunday morning time. And those kids are learning the exact same things as you in here. And there's some we need teachers. That's okay. I'm not really a teacher. Okay, but you know what? We also need people just to help them play games that are already planned and directed about how it ties into the point that I'm teaching in here. Maybe you just like to hold cute little babies, and some of them are cute and little and babies. And that's really cool. And some of you are all about the toddlers, and the screaming is fun for you. You know, these are all simple ways. But I'll tell you right now that we're kind of in a weird spot where we've had people have to fill in over and over. And I'll just tell you all that I'm meeting with all the ministry team coordinators and have been, and we are saying that everybody that serves in the ministry at MC3 is expected to be in the worship experience at least once a month. We are not going to be responsible for you having to fill in and serve back there because you need to grow. You need to have your bottle filled by Jesus. So you need to be here. But anyway, that's the side thing. So Ignition, that's one way. That's one spot where you can serve and be involved. Another opportunity is in our media area. Right now, we've got a couple of guys that are rotating a lot. And one of them also plays up here. So if you're interested, I'm not an upfront person. I'm not a kid person. There's a computer back there. Can you do this? I mean, sorry. Don't mean to make you feel like you're not any. But if you can do this, you can do a lot. And we need some people back there. It's great. We got a great bunch of students helping, but we need to add a few more to that rotation because people do get sick. There are other things. If that's something you're interested, the sound area, making these guys sound incredible. They sound pretty incredible by themselves, but just maximizing that sound. That's another way that you can be involved is back there. And if you're interested in either of those things, you can talk to me or to John, who's back there in the booth right now. That's an easy way to get involved and to serve. Other ways, we've got our first impressions team. They've got the bright orange shirts, and there's a lot of different things there. If you like people, great. You can stand there and welcome people and make them feel welcome. You can help direct them to their parking spots. You can say, we are glad you're here. We want you to be here. And they also they care for just some of the responsibilities of security things. There's things that they're keeping an eye on right now. And people knowing stuff that you don't know that I know, I think. And I can trust that we don't have to worry about some of these other things. But anyway, that's part of it, too. If you're I really am interested in security, that's part of our first impressions team. So there's another way to get involved. MC3 student, and I'm just going to kind of take a pause here and explain. If you were in Student Prime this past year, you got a message, the parents got a message, that there's some changes in Josh and Danae's life. Danae is actually going back to school for nursing. And it's required some major scheduling changes for them. And so they have actually stepped down as the MC3. Josh has stepped down as the MC3 student coordinator. And so we shared that with you if you were in 7th or 6th through 12th grade this past year. But we also, at the same time, can I say it? Okay. John and Liz are expecting their second. And so they're actually in need of stepping down too, which leaves us with none. Zero MC3 student leaders right now. And again, the plan, the reason, it's all God's timing. It's all good. But that leaves us in a hole. So here's something that we're announcing now, and I'll send a message about it to the parents. But we are actually going to take a break from Student Prime for the fall cycle because we don't have the leaders, and we don't have the – we want to really develop philosophy. And the reason I'm sharing that is, one, it's kind of disappointing, and you'll be with the adult, with your parents. And some of your parents are really cool. Kirk isn't, but other parents are really cool. And so it's just for one cycle. But what we're doing here, and this is what I'm sharing with you as a ministry opportunity, is I'm actually going to take anyone interested in working with students, in being a part of MC3 Student. And if you're already serving somewhere else and you're still interested, that's okay for me. And we'll work through that. Or if you're like, you know, one time I thought about that once, what we're going to do is we're going to spend once a month walking through what is MC3 Student? What is Student Prime? How does it fit the philosophy and vision of MC3? And spending over these next few months until the goal being Student Prime relaunches in January, but going through some things together and the idea of saying, what does this look like? And why can I do it? How can you do it? I can show you. We can talk through that. And so unlike some of the other things that we've done, we're not just going, hey, here you go. Good luck. Thursday night. Have fun. You know, no, we really want to equip you and teach you. And even in that, that's why I say interest, you might go and be a part of this kind of training meeting time for a couple of months and go like, you know what, this is not for me. Teenagers are the scariest things ever. And I totally understand that because elementary kids scare me. Like, I was a youth pastor for 10 years. I'm cool with that. But, like, they're just like my own kids. Like, no, I love my own kids. But they're still scary sometimes. But this is an idea, an opportunity. So if that's something that's you, please talk to me. We're actually going to start something in the next couple weeks, and it'll be once a month. And just so you know, if you're concerned about schedule, it'll be the first week of the month when you have your family prime, and the leaders are going to know this. They don't know this yet. Now you do. But you will actually not go to your prime group that night, that week. You will join me for this training time. So we're not even asking for another night of your week. So it's only once a month, and so that's something you're interested in, and did I fairly explain it, Jason? So Jason will be working with me, Jason Donaldson, who is our prime coordinator for adults, and we're going to be doing that. So just so you know, that's kind of where we're going. It's another opportunity. Why? Because we have students that need to know the love of Jesus. Parents need to know they've got a leader that's alongside of them. Because we have kids that need to just simply feel love. Like, the fact that there is someone holding them in a nursery shows them, probably maybe for the first time, that someone cares about them. And that is what God's love is like. There are kids that need to hear about Jesus. And in here, like, I think I'm kind of somewhat not boring. But, like, what if we actually did something for them? In Ignition, so that they can learn and grow, so that the Word of God can be planted in them. We've got people that are here to welcome people. Like, we want you to be here. And our First Impressions team does that. We have an incredible worship band. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes with video. And editing is another thing. If that's something you're interested in, we could use editors to do video editing. Like, there's all these things. And the reason we do all this is because these are all ways that we can point people to Jesus. And take this message, this ministry that he has entrusted us with, and be faithful with it. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in us, one of them is faithfulness. And so that's the question. Which bucket are you? Not what does someone else think you are. Not what do you think you are. But what does God, when he looks at you, does he say, wow, you are faithful? Just be honest. Like, and we're not asking you to share this with anybody. Just, where are you? And if you need to step up, if you need to move to here, do it. And if you're looking for an opportunity, again, there's lots of different ways to serve here at MC3, especially because we're getting ready to kick off our fall. And fall's big. New school year, new exciting things happening. So there's just some of the ways. But the question is, you need to answer, is which bucket are you? And are you considered faithful? Can you say to God, you got it, dude. I got this. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but just say, you can count on me. Can God count on you? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for your Holy Spirit, and that as we've been talking through this series, all these things that we need to do, these things that need to change, aren't really about us. They're about us being open and yielded and vulnerable, allowing you to produce this in us. And I pray for faithfulness. I pray that you would help us to be faithful, because we have a life-changing, world-altering message that you have entrusted us with. And we're held accountable. We're held responsible for that message, God. And I pray that we would, as individuals, that you would develop faithfulness in us, so that we can maximize this ministry that you've called us to, so that we can share more and more and more with more and more people the message of Jesus, and we can watch that message change lives and work through situations and give us hope and provide comfort and joy and resolve and restore relationships and all these things that the message of Jesus does. And I pray that you would help us to be found worthy, to be found faithful in using the ministry you have called us to do to the best, to the faithfulness of our ability. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.